For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hour two, the home team, presented as always by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future elevated. It's Chris and Jeff with you the full 3 hours tonight till 7. A rare Thursday in studio for Jeff during basketball season. No Lady Dogs tonight. They will play again Sunday at home against Bama.
Yes, sir. And then at home again on Thursday. We've been on the road for 4 of the last 6.
Yeah, that's,
we've been gone a lot.
And some tough places, too.
Yeah.
All those teams were ranked.
And long travel. Like, we had in like a 10-day stretch having to go to Fayetteville and College Station and Starkville.
That's a lot.
That was a lot. It was nice to get a W down in Gainesville on Sunday. So hopefully Lady Dogs beat Bam on Sunday. They're also off today. So the dual open date. That's cool thing. It's a busy time of year in sports. We'll have, I think, over the next 7 days, and every school in the league's like this too, 13 Georgia sports teams in action.
So tennis, men's and women's.
Tennis is golf, swimming.
Basketballs.
Yeah,
the baseball.
Track.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just softball, equestrian.
A lot of action.
A lot of action.
Including baseball, which does bring us to today's 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, Georgia baseball opens up the season tomorrow against Richmond. This is the time of year I like the baseball prospectus for the majors puts out their PECOTA, their projections for the upcoming season. So, Jeff, give us your PECOTA for Georgia's baseball team this year.
So is that the total wins and losses and conference wins and losses? PECOTA is one of those new phrases for the old dinosaur here.
Yeah, they'll even project the maybe individual players and stuff like that too.
I would give Georgia,
if you want to know what it's an acronym for, Jeff, player empirical comparison and optimization test algorithm.
That was my second guess.
Yeah,
I'll give you 16 and 14 in the league.
All right.
And of the 56 overall, let's see. That's the one thing. We've been so good midweek. Like, not losing Losey, Kristofak, Shunk, but Tim Elliott was incredible.
Yeah. He was an ace.
Yes.
Midweek ace.
Yes. I mean, then they got through a two-hitter in the regional against Florida Atlantic. I mean, he was amazing. So I will go 2, 3, 1, 4, 16. Okay, 12 and 4. All right, 16 plus 12 is 28. 12 plus 4 is 16. So that's 38, 44. So I got to give you 12 more. Add another 8 to that. Okay, I'll go 36 and 20 overall.
All right, 36 and 20, 16 and 14. That'll be good enough to make it to the NCAA championships for a third year in a row. Will Georgia host a regional again?
I think that would have us right on the cusp. And I just wonder after the last 2 years if we'd be better off going somewhere as a 2.
Yeah. I know, because Georgia's been, the last 2 years have been great national seeds and all that, but the seasons have been marred by losing home regionals.
And we had never done that before. And they've been great. I love those kids. And, you know, that's part of it with baseball, as we say that is the sport where the regular season and the postseason are just so different on how a team's built.
Yeah. I mean, Georgia was cooking for 2 years, and then you end. I mean, the last year,
Florida State. Was
and Florida State barely got in, but it is Florida State.
The losing the doubleheader to Duke was
that was bad.
That was rough.
Yeah, you know, that's Duke.
That was rough. That was a tough day because of the weather. We also didn't get the benefit. I do like what they've done with the regionals, playing 2 Friday, 2 Saturday, 2 Sunday, and then you've got that if necessary on Monday. But because we had had all that rain and we had the rain outs, we had to play a doubleheader on Monday. It wasn't just a one-game deal. But still, to go into that day, we only have to win once, and then we lost two. That was really rough. And then last year, we just ran into a buzzsaw against Florida State. I mean, they were a team of destiny.
Yeah, they were the everyone was questioning, were they only even in the tournament because it
probably.
Was
probably. And then, of course,
Mike
we
Martin's
draw
last
them,
year.
And it's like, they, remember, they were the three. Florida Atlantic was the two.
Yeah. I mean, they were really largely viewed as, like, maybe the last team in the tournament and one that only did get a bid because, you know, Mike Martin. And they ended up in Omaha.
They did. They finished fourth in the country.
They won at LSU, right, after they won here? Yeah.
I mean, they were just, so they beat us and beat LSU.
And they, I mean, they mashed Georgia. And they saw Hancock and Wilcox.
Yes. Because I remember in the first game of the tournament, they beat Florida Atlantic something like 10-5. And I think they hit four home runs that day. And I was just, it's like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's baseball, and we all know how it goes. And these guys have got a second. Like, they had a left fielder named Tim Becker who'd only had like 36 at-bats all year. The guy had like four home runs in the region.
He was a walk-on, wasn't he? Yeah.
I remember. Just, yeah. You know, they were machines.
He was their Cody Ross.
He was. So, I mean, could we be good enough to host? For sure. Here's a big worry for me, though. Now, we do have to go to Missouri. Their stadium stinks, but Missouri's, you know, not very good. The other four SEC road trips are Florida, Vandy, A&M, Arkansas.
Yeah.
That's one of those where, and listen, the coaches and players, they'd kill me. When I get down the dugout, if they're listening. Now, they might have us on out at practice right now. I'll take 4-8 out of those four right now. Don't get swept, and you'll be just fine.
Yeah, at least win one, average out winning one.
Average out winning one. Win 2 out of 3 at Missouri. Then that gets you on the road. You're 6-9. And then at home, if you go 10-5, you're 16-14. And that means you're good enough to go to Omaha.
Because I mean, the other side of that is then, you know, the home schedule does deal you maybe some of the friendlier teams.
Like
then.
We get South Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky at home out of the East. So you're, you know, again, they're all tough.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, but where South Carolina's the program that's really kind
slipped.
Of falling apart here.
I'll tell you one thing that's hurt them too is the minor league team in Columbia, especially when Tebow was playing there.
Oh, yeah.
They started outdrawing them. That's why you never want minor league baseball in your town. I'm telling you, if you're a college team, you don't want it. By the way, Fireball Rodney said he and the gang from the left field lounge are already getting ready.
They're
to
already
start
out there. That's good.
Tomorrow.
They're about 24 hours from now. I figure at this point, 24 hours from now, Hancock will have gone
1-2-3.
Mowed him down 1-2-3, and George will be taking its first cuts of the season against the Richmond Spiders.
Tomorrow's one of those days, too, that you know, just looking at the weather, and I get it, there are reasons for travel and class and all of it. I wish we could start these games at 3:30 because, you know, I think when the team's out there hitting, Dave and I'll walk down on the field, go talk to the players, go interview the coach. You know, it's like, hey, it'll feel nice. But boy, then by about the third inning, that sun starts setting. And then by about the seventh inning, it is freezing.
And it's supposed to be cold tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Yeah, high of 55, low of 30.
And it gets cold quick. Nothing brings on the cold in the South like college baseball.
No, but yeah, tomorrow.
Because we've had so many beautiful days here.
Yeah.
And we had a snow day.
I mean, today was it's warm.
Oh, God,
but
it
tomorrow it's 4 o'clock, 54 degrees.
Yeah. It's and the game's at 5, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, by about the middle of the 5th.
Yes, when the sun starts to go down and the low tomorrow night's going to drop to 30.
It'll be cold.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it, and I know the players are. It was funny. I ran into Patrick Sullivan. He and Cam Shepard, the Statesboro connections, I was friends with their fathers back in the 1980s when I was a kid at Georgia Southern as a bat boy and then statistician and PA man and radio man. And so just getting to reconnect with them was great. But I ran into Patrick and his dad a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, yeah, I'm telling you, So I think we'll be better off. We're going to have a great year this year. We're going to go on the road and win this year. And so I was like, no, JD, we're at home. I go, I tell you, we'll be better off. It's like what you say about the players. They're like, no, we're winning it at home. There's no way we're not hosting this year. And I'm like, listen to the old man. He's like, no, JD, I'm telling you, we're hosted and we're winning this year. I'm like, okay, I like the attitude.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's...
What do you know, you old fossil?
I mean, that would be preferable.
Be great.
I mean, you want to host regionals and host the Super Regional and be a national seed.
Absolutely.
For your best path to get to Omaha. But, you know, suddenly then you start thinking about, oh, 2 years in a row, you haven't even made it out of the regional. Then you get this third year in a row. How tight do you get then? Yeah. Get some long swings.
And especially...
That pressure builds.
And especially... By the way, Cole tweets in, got another question. Will Georgia and Clemson play 20 innings again? Hopefully not.
I hope not, but apparently I was talking with Dave this morning. We were recording the Crossover Podcast.
Great
presented
podcast.
By Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen.
By the way, I suggest the chicken parm at Fully Loaded,
okay.
By the way.
He said,
I'm sure it's great on this new Noom thing I'm doing.
Right. I'm sure that would that thing would probably explode your phone if you typed that in there, but... He said Coach Strickland said the coaches got together and decided that they wouldn't put in a curfew or anything. And that's like, well, that's the point. Like, the coaches, that shouldn't be a decision for them to make.
No, it shouldn't be. And or if you're going to – no, you know when that vote should have been taken? The day after we played 20 innings.
Yeah.
And we had a Thursday through Saturday series.
But the coaches and players don't care because they're coaching and playing in the game. They don't even know when the clock hits 3 a.m. They weren't aware of it until, like – I don't know, maybe the 17th inning, and who I think it was Sullivan, the story went, where he was like, oh, I got like a final
like
in
5 hours
at 8 a.m. or something. But that's why, like, that shouldn't be their decision to make. There are people higher than them that should be saying, like, you know what, when Clemson and Georgia are playing on a Tuesday night, the game does not need to last till 2 a.m.
No, I mean, that's and the thing, too, in the SEC, you got curfews. Like, you can't start an inning after... You know,
11 or something.
11 or 12,
yeah.
Whatever it is, depending on when the game starts. But it's like, but we don't have that for the midweek games that really, in the grand scheme of things, aren't that important.
No, if they were, then the ace pitchers would throw, but you don't. You kind of go Johnny Holstaff.
Exactly. So when we're all sitting there and Lake's going through, the book's like, oh, there's no. It's like, are we going to start after midnight? Yeah. Are we going to start after one? Yeah. Are we going to start after? Yeah.
And I'm sure that that game last year probably got to the point where Georgia's like, well, we don't want to bring it up because then Clemson might, well, what do? You forfeit? And then Clemson's probably, we don't want to bring it up because then, hey, what are we forfeiting? So you just keep going.
I mean, like you say, I know you got no beef with ties. I really don't mind if they would do the, oh, this was softball. Well, you know what? Let's put a runner on second with one out and have at it. Let's go.
Yeah.
And don't start after midnight or after 11.
Right. But that's one of those deals too, where like the coaches get together and get to decide that. No, the point is they don't get to decide it.
Because they're going to want to keep fighting.
Yeah. Well, it's like the, you know, I mean, look, Major League Baseball now has got to, you got to throw to at least three batters.
Oh, the coaches or managers would never vote for that.
Right. And they're the ones that kept making that slow trot out to from the dugout to home. And Bruce Bochy was the worst about that.
And here was the worst. When they'd send the catcher out,
yeah,
then he'd walk back. Then the pitching coach or the manager would go out.
Yeah. So somebody's got to – they've got to legislate you.
Because if you don't police yourselves, you get but to me, too, especially in college, those midweek games, the kids, they've got class that day. They've got class the next day. You've got a grind of a three-game conference weekend coming up.
Right.
And this is – we're not just talking about the SEC. It's wherever you are.
But they're playing. They don't care about
you
all
that. You want to win the game?
Yeah, they're out there playing, and they're having a good time.
Yes, yeah, like Coach Strickland was saying. I remember looking at it. I said, everybody was so punch drunk, like at the end of that game. You know, everybody had the hats on backwards and stacked. And so guys were – playing their bats as guitars. I mean, you're just delirious.
Right.
But you're probably not 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's 2 o'clock in the
morning.
You're
not aware that, you know what time it is?
Jeez. No,
so,
but that's one.
But they didn't make a rule, so I guess that can still happen.
Just have a curfew in midweekers. You're not starting after 11. It's one of those things. it's done to protect you against yourself. You know, it's kind of like the great John Isner winning the marathon match. I mean, that was awesome. The notoriety for that is certainly now a record that will never be broken. I mean, that's going to look like the Cy Young 5-11 and 3-13 for career decisions.
Yeah, well, it's not tennis. Possible anymore because Wimbledon did finally put in a breaker.
Exactly, but those guys, you know, and the relentlessness shown by both Big John and Mahieu, they would have been very happy, I think, at that point. Had like, guess what? Are we going to put in a breaker at 12-all?
Okay. And I think Isner and Anderson.
Oh, God, what did that wind up? 30-28, 28-26?
It was in the 20s, but, yeah, 26-24, something like
it's
that.
Just, it's just brutal. So, I mean, at some point it becomes – baseball's a different animal. It becomes borderline inhumane. And the other thing about baseball, you would think that, like, well, the pitchers are going to get tired. It's the opposite of that. Like, we had two guys who came in to pitch, Logan Moody and Darren Pasqua, who had not pitched a lot. I think the two of them combined for 10 innings and something like 17 strikeouts because all the players are exhausted. They've been out there all night.
Yes.
And they've been swinging the bat, and they've been, you know, in the field the whole time. And then you've got, even if it's your B and C level arms, well, you got those guys are fresh coming in, they're hungry, and your position players are just tanked. I mean, that's why you see games go so deep. It's very rare in an extra inning game that goes, say, 15, 16, 17 innings, that you'll have, well, Bo scored one in the 10th, Bo scored two in the 9th. It's zeros all across the board.
Yeah.
Because your position players are out of gas.
Unless you're on the under. And then you'll have, like, the 13th.
Does extra innings count?
Yeah, yeah. Then, like, in the 13th inning, someone will plate three in the top half, and then in the bottom half, the home team will plate three, and they'll play on.
How did it was 1-1 through 13?
Jeff, on the subject of Pecota projections, the algorithm says the Braves win 83 games this year and the Mets win the NL East.
Wow.
What do you think about that? Would you take over or under 83 wins for the Braves?
Hopefully the over on that.
Atlanta got to 92 last year.
I've got them at 86 this season.
All right. Have you gone game by game and projected it out on 162?
I haven't quite gotten that far yet.
Okay.
By the way, I've got a couple of tweets here if I could read here.
Yep.
Do you mind?
Yep.
Okay. Mike Mobley.
Love a good tweet.
I left Athens in the second inning, drove all the way to Birmingham to SEC golf, and then listened to the last three innings in my hotel room.
Yeah. I mean, I remember you guys reading those stories on the air last year during that game of all – like there was – I remember there was one guy that left Atlanta in like rush hour traffic and then made it all the way back to Athens. And
it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Went out to eat and all that.
Alan Thomas, start midweek at 3 o'clock and non-issue. Amen to that. I'd be all for starting. I think your non-con games ought to be at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. So that game then would have ended at 11 instead of like 2.
Right. I mean, it's still.
It's still a marathon, but at least it's not, you know, after midnight.
But it's, and especially like I was saying, for the weather now, we need to start at Georgia Southern, when I was a bat boy as a young kid, started at 3:30 because school got out at 3. And then I think their thinking was, okay, you know, give kids, you know, obviously college students. And then for people, if you're getting off work, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, you can catch the rest of the game. But kind of the thing is, like, we're going to start at 5, and everybody's going to leave when they get off work and come and stay here for the whole – that's. As I discovered, my life changed a lot in many ways when I started dating Emily, but those of us who have dated or married teachers, when you all of a sudden in the fantasy land jobs that we do, when you realize grown-ups' jobs and people with kids, you're not coming to a baseball game for 3.5 hours. So like I say, tomorrow's another good example. It'll feel okay when the game starts at 5, but the second half of the game, it's going to be freezing. So I'd say let's start at 3 or 3:30. At least until you get into late March or April.
Yeah. No, but that thing
last – would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, play most of the innings in the daylight.
For sure.
And still somewhat, you know, warm. And tomorrow it's not going to – I would say low 50s isn't warm, but it sure beats the 40s and the 30s.
But it's also, if you're low 50s and the sun is out.
Yeah, you're all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that thing last year, you know, talk about you come home and – it's like 2 a.m. Like, where have you been? No, the baseball game went 20 innings. Like, you know, are you having an affair?
That was, Emily was, she was gone, and my sweet Tilly was in there in her crate. I'm like, where? Then she comes in and is like mad at me, completely irrational. I'm like, what? I thought you got mugged or went to a bar and something. I'm like, Emily, we just played the longest game in SEC.
Sure, you did. They have curfews. No, they don't.
Well, I went by the state. I'm like, well, they turned. I thought you might have gotten hijacked or kidnapped.
Yeah.
Like, no. But I get it, too. I mean, if you wake up at 1:32 in the morning, it's like, well, you didn't have a text or anything. I'm like, well, yeah, we're doing the game. No, I didn't want to wake you up.
Yeah, the game started at 6. You figure you'll be home by 10:30.
For sure.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
that
like
was
2 a.m.
That reminds me of the great Dan Jenkins story on Bob Drum, the famous Pittsburgh sports writer. Because back in the day, for TV, for the window, they would put the leaders kind of more in the middle so they could squeeze them in the TV window. So when the 1955 U.S. Open signed off, everybody thought Ben Hogan had won. Then Jack Fleck came back and tied him and forced the playoff. And the story is that Bob Drum called his wife and said, well, I got to stay in San Francisco at Olympic. I got to stay in San Francisco. He goes, why? He goes, well, it's a playoff tomorrow. Goes, what? No, I watched on TV Ben Hogan won. He goes, no. It's got Jack Fleck came back and tied it. She goes, worst name you've ever made up.
Yeah. No, that's how that night was. Come
said,
home like.
You just want to stay in San Francisco and get drunk another night.
Yeah.
Jenkins said, Drum said, I can get drunk in Pittsburgh.
Right. I do want to stay in San Francisco and get drunk another night, but I'm going to also work now, too.
But I love that. Who? Jack, like, worst name you've ever made up.
Jeff, moving on in the 5-5. It happened 3 times in the 80s, 4 times in the 90s.
God, I wish this was Georgia football national championships you were talking about.
3 times in the 00s and twice in the 10s. I am talking about Georgia, but in basketball, that's how many times Georgia made the tourney in those 4 decades. So, Jeff, the question is, how many tourney appearances will Georgia make in the 20s in hoops? Again, we've gone 3, 4, 3, and 2. And I'm including the ones that are vacated. Because I watched the team in those tournaments. They count.
Yeah,
1980, to me, they count.
Yeah, 1985. So, we're 83, 85, 87.
Because I think 02 is also now
scratched. We were very much there. 91... I'm sorry, 90, 91, then what, the 96, 97, and then 01, 02, and then what year was that?
08, 08 yeah. And then we went in
11 and is it 14, maybe?
14 or 15, I think it was, yeah.
And I'm going to be optimistic here. 5.
Holy cow. 5 times Georgia's going to make the tournament in a decade?
Going 5.
That's half the decade.
Yeah.
Georgia's going to be in the tournament. Well, but let's say this, though. Georgia's going to have to do it 5 times now in 9 years because it's not going to happen this year.
Unless we have an 08 run in us.
Yeah. Maybe.
You know, I think, Chris, when these freshmen, like Kamara and Brown and Wheeler, I think when they're juniors, we're going to be really good.
Well, you hope so because to go back to how things kind of progressed under Mark Fox, Georgia made the tournament in his second season, and then Tompkins and Leslie left.
Right.
You know, unexpectedly, really, for the draft.
Bad decisions.
Yeah. So then KCP came in, and Georgia was not good in his freshman year.
Correct.
And they weren't great in his sophomore year, but there were 2 freshmen that came on board in his sophomore year, Mann and Gaines.
Yes.
And then Frazier came along, too. So you did have these, you know, key players on teams that got much better, albeit they ended up being kind of outside of the one time Georgia did make the tournament. Those teams with Kenny Gaines and Charles Mann and, you know, and Frazier
were. We should have gone to the tournament 2 more times.
Yeah, I mean, they ended up being disappointments.
The year after we went, that was the one we were talking about last hour. We lost that game at Ole Miss, the one at A&M, the one to Florida. I mean, we had Gaines, Mann, Frazier, Mayton.
Yeah.
You got to make the tournament.
Yeah.
We did.
So, you know, KCP's second season here did bring those two as freshmen that did end up, you know, playing roles in the team, you know, getting to where they were winning 20 games and having winning records in the conference again and making at least one more NCAA tournament.
So I think that this class is going to do a lot of really good things here. And you know, you got to continue to get the pieces that come with it.
Yeah. Right now, though, it's.
Now, the conference record is just.
Not looking good.
disappointing. And good gosh, this is the January and February of what could have been. I mean, losing 220-point leads is.
Yeah, I mean, even led Bama the other day by 12, ended up scoring 100 and losing.
Only the second time in program history.
When you think about this season, so Georgia's lost by 32 to Mississippi State. Auburn beat us, the worst Auburn's beaten us in like 40 years.
Great story on that one, though.
You have a 100-point game that you lose. You've blown two separate 20-point leads. It's a wild season. And just 2-9 now.
When Auburn beat us in 77 and Slon made his first start because I think it was Walter Daniels was sick and couldn't play, and Auburn had fast Eddie Johnson. He's a great player for the Hawks. And
yeah.
Slon told the story first two times down the floor, Johnson just blew by him. And he said all his teammates are great going in like, you'll be, man, they don't have any tape on you, man. You'll be good. He's like, okay.
No, I believe you.
Fresh. He's a freshman, fast Eddie just smokes by him, lays it up twice, and he said Auburn's coach yelled out, Eddie, run the play I called. Slon goes, I could have gone over and hugged the guy because he would have scored 70 that night.
Just doing what he wanted to do.
It's like, yes, please run the play.
Yeah.
Please do.
Yeah, whatever it is that involves you passing to someone else, do that. All right, so there's today's 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems More Than a System, a Solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.